Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we will be concluding the last Mishnah in Maseches Kinim, and then Rabbi Dr. C. Hirsch Weinreb will be beginning with Maseches Kalim. So, Mishnah Vav, the last Mishnah in the third parak, says, Ha'isha Sha'amra, a woman who says, Hari Olai Kain Kisha'ele Zachar, I obligate myself to bring a set of birds as a freewill offering when I give birth to a male. Yalda Zachar, and then she gives birth to a male. Mevia Shtei Kinim, she has to bring two sets of birds. Achas L'Nidra, one for her vow. V'achas L'Chavasa, and one is the usual obligatory pair that a woman would bring after giving birth. Nasanasam L'Kohen, they're given to the Kohen. V'Hakohen Tzarech L'Asos Shlosh Pridim L'Malan V'achas L'Matan. Then the Kohen has to offer three birds above the line of the altar and one bird below. So that's three burnt offerings, because the two birds from her free will offering are both burnt offerings, and then of her obligatory pair, one is a burnt offering and one is a sin offering. That's the one that goes below the line. Lo asa kein, if the Kohen did not act as he was supposed to, ela asa shtaim lamalan ushtaim lamatan, but rather he assumed that they were two obligatory pairs, so we offered two birds above and two birds below, velo nimlach, and he didn't bother asking the woman. Tzricha lahavi od preda achas. Then she has to bring another bird to make up for the one that was done improperly. V'yakri vena lamalan, and that bird is offered above the line as a burnt offering must be. Mimin echad, but that's only when all of her birds are from the same species, either pigeons or doves. Mishnei minim, if there were two types of birds involved in this, tavi shtayim, then she has to bring two makeup birds, and that's because the one that was done wrong could have been from the set of pigeons, or it could have been from the set of doves. Let's take a look in the Bar Neuro before we go any further, because this is a very long Mishnah, so we'll break it up into a couple of pieces. Hari Alai Kain L'Shekele Zachar, woman says, I will bring a freewill offering of birds if I give birth to a male. Bioledes Ania Askinan, we're talking about a woman who's not wealthy. The Ilu Ashira Mivia Keves L'Chavasa, because if she was wealthy, then she would be bringing a sheep for her obligatory offering. V'Hakohen Tzarech L'Aso Shlosh L'Mala, so the Kohen needs to offer three of these four birds above the line. Shekein Nedava Shtehem Olos, because of the freewill offering, they are both burnt offerings. V'Kein Shelchova, and of her obligatory offering, Ola L'Mala V'Chatas L'Mata, then there would be a burnt offering above the line and a sin offering below the line. V'hu'lo asa kein, and the Kohen doesn't do this. He doesn't act as he's supposed to. El shtayim lamala u'shtayim lamata, but rather he does two above the line and two below the line. V'lo nimlach ba l'das alma hiviyasan, and he doesn't consult with her to find out why she's bringing these birds. V'nifsila preda achas, so one of these birds is made invalid because it was offered in the wrong place. Hilkach, therefore, tzricha shetavi preda acheres v'sakri vena lamala. That's why she needs to bring another bird and offer it above the line as should have been done in the first place. But that's only when we're talking about mimin achad, when they're from the same species, klomar, meaning, but medvar mamorim, when is this? Kishahayu mimin echad, when the birds are of the same species. Avahayu shnei hakinim shehivya mishnei haminim, but when these two bird sets are from two different species, the hainu kein echad torim v'kein echad b'nei yona, namely one set is doves and the other one is pigeons. Tzichim lahavi preda achad tor u preda achas b'nei yona. So then she would have to bring one bird to make up from pigeons and one bird to make up from doves. Kidei lahashlim hapreda shenifsala, in order to make up for the bird that got disqualified. Dolo yadinan, because we don't know, im min hatorim o min b'nei yona haisa. We don't know if that was one of the doves or one of the pigeons. V'tanan la'el, and we learned above, Ein mevi'in toren k'neged b'nei yona v'chule. We learned that you can't mix and match pigeons and doves. So if the one that got mixed up was a pigeon, she has to replace it with a pigeon, and if it was a dove, she has to replace it with a dove. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Perisha nidra, if she specified in her vow, tzricha lahavi od shlosh predim, then she needs to bring three more birds to make up for the one that was messed up. Mimin echad, that's when they're all from one species. Mishnei minim, but if she brought two species, tavi arba, then she has to bring four birds to make up for the one that was messed up. Again, let's look at the Bar Neuro. Perisha nidra, she specified her vow. Kishahavia shnei kinim lekohen, when she brought these two birds to the kohen, Pershava amra elu l'nidarai ve'elu l'chovasi. She says, these birds are for my vow, and these birds are for my obligation. So she has to bring three, but that's when they're mimin echad, they're of the same species, klomar, that means to say, im shnei kilim halalu hayu mimin echad, if these two sets of birds were of the same species, tahainu shnehem tarim o shnehem b'nei yona, namely they were either both doves or both pigeons, v'hikriv mehen hakohen shtayim lamala ushtayim lamata, and then the kohen offered two birds above the line and two birds below the line, en kasher ela preda achas mikol ha'arbar shehikriv, then only one of these four birds is valid. V'hi ha'ola shebechova, and that would be the ola, the bird offered above, from the obligatory pair. Midi hava ka'ola shenis arva bechova. This is like the case of a burnt offering getting mixed up with an obligatory pair. Damran la'el, ein kasher ela minyan ola shebechova. And we said above that the only thing that's valid in such a scenario is the number of burnt offerings in the obligatory pair. V'trichim la'havi od shlosh predos. So since of these four birds, only one is valid, she has to bring three more to make up. Umakriv mehen achas lamata, and then she offers one of these, or she has the kohen offer one of these below the line. V'hi achata shebechova, and that's the sin offering from the obligatory pair. Ushtayim lamala, and then two have to be offered above the line. V'hu haneder, and that's what she vowed to bring. Continuing in the Mishnah. Kava nidra, if she designated her vow. Tricha lahavi od chamesh predim. Then she has to bring another five birds. Mimin echad. And that's in the case where all of her birds are from one species. Mishnei minim. But when they're from two species, tavi shesh. Then she has to bring six birds to make up. Let's look in the Bart Neuro and see why that is. Kava nidra. If she designated her vow, kagon, for example. Sha'amra b'shas nidra. Harei olai kein mimin ploni. So when she made her vow, she said, I'm going to bring a freewill offering from a particular species, upirsha nidra de la'el. And the case of specifying, which we said previously, lo pirsha klum b'shas haneder. That doesn't mean she specified anything when she made the vow. La'achar shenidra stam, harei alai kein. But rather, after vowing just generically, I will bring an offering. Hevia me'ezet min shirasa. Then she brings from whatever species she wanted. Va'amra elu l'nedarai. And then she tells the kohen, these are from my vow. So the previous case, she didn't obligate herself to bring a particular species, but when she gave it to the Kohen, she said, this is for my vow. In this case, when she made the vow, she said, I am going to bring either two pigeons or two doves as a freewill offering if I have a son. So in such a case, if they mess up and they offer two above and two below instead of three above and one below, tzricha lahavi od chamesh predos, she has to bring five birds to make up for it. Why? Here we're dealing with after she made the vow and specified at that time what birds she was going to bring. And then she brings the birds for the vow with the birds of her obligation, El HaKohen, to the Kohen. Asa HaKohen Shtayim Lamala Ushtayim Lamata. And the Kohen offered two above and two below. Velo Yada Im Nidra Asa Lamala V'Chovasa Lamata Im Lehefech. And we don't know if her birds for the freewill offering were above the line and her obligation was below the line, or if it was the other way around. V'hi gam hi shicha, and she also forgot, ezomin kava l'nidra, which species she obligated herself to bring for this freewill offering. Im torim im b'nei yona, if it was pigeons or doves. So she specified at the time, but she doesn't remember what she specified, and the Kohen doesn't know what he offered in which place. So there's a lot of mistakes going on here. Then trichim lahavi od chamesh predos. Now she needs to bring five makeup birds. Deshema haneder nase lamata, because maybe her freewill offering was offered below, v'hachova lamala, and her obligation was offered above, v'ein kasher ela ola shebechova, and therefore the only thing that's valid would be the burnt offering from her obligatory pair, bilvad, only that. V'nishar aleha chata shelchova, the still remaining the sin offering of her obligatory pair, ushte olos shel neder, and the two birds that she vowed that she would bring. And since she can't remember what species she obligated herself to bring, she has to bring two doves, and two pigeons. Now she has to bring all four of those birds and offer them above the line in order to fulfill her obligation. Because she doesn't remember what she's obligated in, she's got to bring two pigeons, two doves, plus she needs to make up the missing bird from the obligatory pair. So, v'tzicha l'havi nami ben yona otor l'chatas, she also has to bring a pigeon or a dove for a sin offering, l'hashlim chavasa, to fulfill her obligation. So, hari chamesh predos, so that's five more birds. V'hani mili, and these things, kishimivia mitchila nidra v'chavasa hakomi min echad. All of this is only when she brings her obligation and her voluntary offering from the same species. But if she's informed that she originally brought her pigeons and doves from two different species, and she has forgotten from which species she obligated herself in this free will offering, then now she has to bring six makeup birds. Arba lahashlim nidra, four to make up for her vow,
two pigeons and two doves, like we said before, because she doesn't remember what she obligated herself in.
Because she doesn't know what species she originally obligated herself in. So she needs to fulfill both of them. And she also needs to bring two pigeons or two doves in order to offer one as a sin offering and one as a burnt offering in order to fulfill her obligatory pair. Let's continue in the Mishnah.
Nasanim l'kohen, they're given to the kohen, ve'en yodua ma nasna, and it's not known what was given to him.
Halacha kohen va'asa ve'en yodua me'asa, then the kohen goes ahead and offers, and he doesn't know what he offered. Did he offer above the line, below the line? Everything is confused.
So tzrich lahavi od arba predim l'nidra, then she needs to bring another four birds for her free will offering, ushtayim l'chovasa, and two for her obligation, v'chatas echas, and also one sin offering.
Ben Azai omer shtei chatos, Ben Azai says two sin offerings.
Let's look in the Bartonuro. Nasanam l'kohen ve'en yodua, so they're given to the kohen and it's not known. Kagon, for example, shekava nidra, so she specified when she made her vow that she was bringing a particular type of bird. V'kava chovasa, and she also specified what she was bringing for her obligatory pair. V'hivia l'kohen, kain l'nidra v'kain l'chovasa, and then she brings to the kohen a set of birds for the free will offering and a set of birds for the obligatory offering.
The Eno Yodas me'eza min kava nidra u'me'eza min kava chavasa.
So now she doesn't know which species she obligated herself in for the free will offering and which one for the obligatory pair.
Imnasan lekohen shnei minim o min echad,
or if the kohen is given two species or one species, v'hakohen eno yodea im asa hakol lamala o hakol lamata, and the kohen doesn't know if he offered them all above the line or if he offered them all below the line, o mechsa lamala u mechsa lamata, or maybe he offered half above and half below.
Harizem mivia arba predos, so this woman has to bring four more birds lenidra to fulfill her free will obligation,
shtei sorim u'shnei b'nei yona, two doves and two pigeons.
Umivia gam kain shtaim l'chovasa,
she also has to bring two for her obligatory pair, achas chatas v'achas ola, one for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering.
Me'eze b'shnei haminim shetirza,
from either of the species that she desires.
Umivia chatas, and she brings a sin offering.
And Ben Azai says she has to bring two sin offerings, one for the pigeon, one for the dove. So there's that.
So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, back in the Mishnah,
Zehu she'amru, this is what Chazal meant when they said, Kishehu chai kolo echad, this is talking about a sheep of a sacrifice. When it's alive, it has one voice, Ukishehu meis kolo shiva, and when it's dead, it has seven voices.
Ketzad kolo shiva, how does it have seven voices?
Shtei karnav, shtei chatzosros, its two horns are made into two trumpets.
Shtei shokav, shnei chalilin, its two thigh bones are made into two flutes.
Oro latof, its skin is made into a drum.
Meav linavolim, its large intestine is made into strings for a lyre.
Bnei meav lechinoros, and its small intestine is made into strings for harps. V'yesh omrim, and some say, aft samro l'techeles. Some say that its wool is made into techeles. So again, let's look in the Bart Neuro. Rabbi Yeshua Zehusha Amru. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about? Kishem Sheha Keves, Kishahu Chai, En Yotzim Yemenu Eloko Echad. Just like the sheep, when it's alive, only has one voice. Vikishahu Mace, and when it's dead, Shehaya Roy, Sheyifsuk Kolo, and it shouldn't have any voice at all. Yotziyem Yemenu Shiva Kolos, Kidmeforesh Vazil, and yet we managed to make out of it seven different voices, as the Mishnah goes on to explain. Hachanami, in our case also, Kishinidra Techila, Kodem Shehevia Klum, Lo Hayesa Tzricha, Ela Kain Lenidra, the Kain Lechavasa. So similarly, in our case, when the woman made her vow, before she brought anything at all, she only had to bring one set of birds for her vow and one set of birds for her obligation. Ulachar Shekavas Nidra, and after she designated her vow, Vehivia Nidra V'chovasa, and she brings these two sets of birds, Lefisha Eno Yodas Mekhava, because she doesn't know what she obligated herself in, Ve'en Yodea HaKohen Mahikriv, and the Kohen doesn't know what he offered, Shechel Havi Arba Predos, now she has to bring four birds, Linidra, for her vow, Ve'arba L'chovasa Kedamron, and four more for her obligation, as the Mishnah explained. So it's using this as a mashal, as an illustration of how one thing grows exponentially into be many things. So that's its relevance here. And there's a Yesh Omrim. Another opinion says that even the wool, so aft samro, lasos v'menu tcheles, to make tcheles from it. So osin mitzamro me'il shekulo tcheles, so they make for the Kohen his robe, which is completely tcheles. V'al shuyav pamonim shinmashmi'im kol, and on the hem of his robe, there would be these bells that would make a sound. V'tanakama tcheles lo kechashiv, but the first opinion in our Mishnah doesn't include tcheles. L'fi she'en ha'tcheles mashmi'a kol, because the tcheles itself doesn't make any sound. Ela ha'pamonim she'al shuyoch saviv, but rather it's the bells that surround the hem that make the noise. So that's the difference of opinion as to whether or not that should be included. All right, let's finish off the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia Omer, Rabbi Shimon the son of Akashia says, Ziknei am ha'aretz kolzman shemazkinim datan mitarefes alehen. So the elders who are ignorant, the older they get, the more agitated, the more disconcerted their minds get. Shenemar, and it quotes a pasuk in Eov, the book of Job, Mesir Safa l'ne'amanim v'tam zekenim yikach. So it says that God removes the speech of the trusty and the sense of the elderly. Aval ziknei Torah einon kein, but this is not the case for learned elders. Ela kolzman shemazkinim datan misyabeshes alehen. But rather, the older they get, the more settled their minds get. Shenemar, and it quotes another pasuk from that same chapter, and it says, Bishishim chachma v'orech yomim tevuna. So in the aged, there is wisdom, and in those who have long lives, there is understanding. That is the end of the Mishnah, and of the chapter, and also of the Masechta, and not only that, but it's also the end of the Seder. So with this, we have concluded Seder Kodshim, and now Rabbi Weinreb will begin Seder Taharos with Maseches Kelim. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned.
Today, we begin not only a new Masechet Kelim, but also a new Seder, the sixth and last order or section of Mishnayos, which deals with the laws of Taharos, the laws of Tumah and Tahara. As anyone who has been following in our study of Mishnayos all along from Maseches Brachos knows that there really is no Masechet in all of Mishnayos that doesn't deal to some extent, greater or lesser, with the topic of Tumah. However, the systematic treatment of the laws of Tumah, and it's very difficult to translate into English the meaning of the word tumah, impurity, spiritual contamination of some sort. But it is clearly a major component of the Torah, stressed again and again in the Chumash and mentioned throughout Shas. Here, in Maseches Kelim, we begin to have a systematic treatment, an introduction, a comprehensive introduction to the whole topic. Now, many of the traditional commentaries begin by giving an introduction to the introduction, an overview of all of the halachos of Tumah v'Tahara. Those introductions are, of course, helpful, but they are often more complicated, certainly more difficult to remember, than the introduction given by the Mishnah itself. So we will begin today, lesson number one, with the first Mishnah of the first Perek in Kelim. I want to say something at this point, which we won't encounter immediately, but soon enough, and that is the need to have some type of visual aid, some type of book of diagrams, which will help illustrate the various kelim, the various utensils, most of which are primitive utensils not to be found in today's kitchen or workroom. And it is very difficult to describe these kelim without some type of visual aid. Many of the editions of Mishnayos which are out there published in Hebrew or in English, or in Yiddish for that matter, do contain such diagrams. I personally have found most helpful the series of booklets of diagrams on Maseches Kelim and on other Masechtos of Taharos, by the way, prepared by Rabbi Posen of England. And I suggest that you try to get your hands on these booklets. I know, for example, that the comprehensive edition of Mishnayos, known as Siyata Dishmaya, which is an advanced approach to Mishnayos, uses, with the permission of Rabbi Posen, these diagrams, and I have found them very helpful. But there are other diagrams which are available, and I urge you to procure a set of diagrams on Maseches Kelim for yourself. Again, it won't be necessary in the early days and weeks of our study, but as we get deeper into the Masechta, it becomes indispensable. For my part, when we come to those Mishnayos which require illustration, I will try to carefully describe the Kelim, although we won't have access to the presentation of an actual visual aid. As we launch our study in the first Mishnah, I would suggest, too, that you have with you a Chumash so that you could see where in the Torah these laws emanate from. And it's very important, perhaps more than in any other area of Chumash study, that when you learn Mishnayos Kelim and the rest of Maseches Taharos, you have a Chumash in front of you. And then you will see how basic the laws of Tumah and Tahara are in our Torah Shebiksav, in our written Torah, and how carefully our Chazal, the Tanoim of our Mishnah, pay attention to every nuance and every phrase and every spelling of a word in the psukim which deal with the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. The Mishnah begins, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, with a list of the Avos HaTumos, the fathers, the major categories of Tumah. And it arranges them in a series of levels, beginning with the least strict and ascending up toward the most strict of the categories of Tumah. An Av HaTumah, an object which is a master category, a major category of Tumah, is an object. And the first one is Avos HaTumos. The first one is Hasheretz, the reptile or rodent, which is spelled out, eight of them spelled out in the Torah in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Posik Chof Tes to Posik Lamed, where the Torah lists eight creatures, Hacholed v'ho Achbor, v'hatzav, v'ho Anoko, v'hakoach, v'halto, v'hachomet, v'hatin shomets, reptile slash rodents. The dead carcass of a sheretz, of one of those animals, lizards of various types, rats of various types, their dead carcass is an object of tumah, and it is an av hatumah, namely, the coming into contact, the power of this dead sheretz is to profane, to render tomei, even Odom v'kelim, even humans, Jewish humans, and kelim and utensils. Lesser degrees than the av, lesser than the master category, cannot be metame odom v'kelim, cannot render a human being or a utensil tome. It can only render ochlin umashkin, foodstuffs and liquids tome. So an av hatuma, first order master category, the sheretz itself, can render, as we will see, a person tome if the person comes into direct contact with the sheretz. And similarly, it can render a keli tome. If I have a cup, a metal saucer, or whatever, and we will see that a lot depends upon the nature of this utensil, what it's made of. But let's say, for our example, a metal cup. The sheretz comes into contact with the metal cup. The metal cup becomes tome. However, that person or that keli, that metal cup, which came into contact with the av hatuma, with the dead sheretz, is not itself an av hatuma. It is a lesser degree. It is only a rishon. It is the first to come into contact with the av, with the father category. A rishon, the person or a keli which came into contact with the av hatuma, the sheretz, cannot be metame adam v'kelim. So if I touch a dead sheretz and then I touch you, I do not make you tome. If I touch a dead sheretz and then I touch a cup, I do not render that cup tome. However, if instead of touching another human or a keli, I touch foodstuffs, then the foodstuffs do become tome. A rishon can be metame ochlin umashkin, and only an av can be metame odom v'kelim. Now, the first in the list is the sheretz. The pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Posuk Lamed Aleph and Posuk Lamed Beis, Kol Hanogeya Bohem Bimosom Yitmo Ad Ho'oref, that anyone, a person, who comes into contact with a sheretz, but the sheretz is a dead sheretz, Bimosom, that person, if he touched the sheretz at 10 o'clock in the morning, he's Tomei until sunset, the rest of that day. And similarly, this is not only true of a person, but also mikol kli eitz o beget o or o sak. If the sheretz came into contact with a wooden vessel, or a cloth vessel, or a leather vessel, or a vessel made of sackcloth, those kelim become tomei as well. Interestingly enough, we're also taught, the Gemara for this is in Maseches Nido Daf Nun Vav, that you notice the Torah stresses Kol Hanogeya Bohem Bimosom, their dead bodies, their carcasses of the sheretz, are a source of tumah. And the Gemara darshans that they are only on Metameh if they are in the condition that they were at the time of their death. But suppose they have become dried out. You have a dead tzav, which some say is a frog of some sort, or an achbor, a dead rodent, and it now is dried out, it's been dead for many, many weeks, and it's a dry piece of hide, then it is not metame. It is only mitame kishahem lachim, when they are still fresh, freshly dead. So that's av hatuma number one, the sheretz. Av hatuma number two is shichvas zera, sperm, the semen of a male human Jewish person. The Torah says in Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, Perek Tesvov, Psukim Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, V'ish ki seitse mimenu shichvas zera, if sperm comes out of a man, either through ejaculation or through some other means, but it is human sperm, then the requirement is v'rochatz b'mayim es kol b'soro v'tomeyato orev. He, the man, must, from whom sperm was emitted, has to go to the mikveh, and he is tomei that day until evening. But v'chol beged v'chol or asher yiyeh olav shichvas zera. Similarly, if the sperm comes into contact with cloth, with a sheet, let's say, or a towel, or whatever, then that utensil, that keli, that item, that cloth, becomes tomei too. And it's tomei the entire day, and must first be immersed in a mikveh, and then wait until sunset. So from these psukim we see that shichvas zera is mitame odom v'kelim. That is the definition of an av hatuma. It is mitame odom and kelim. And the Torah says the person is tame if he comes into contact with shichvas zera, and so is the keli, the beged or whatever, which comes into contact with shichvas zera. The Mishnah continues with number three on the list of avos hatumos, and that is utumei meis. A tumei meis is a person who has come into contact with a corpse, with a human corpse. Now, here, the sources are not in Chumash Vayikra, but rather in Chumash Bamidbor, Perek Yutes, in the Parsha of Chukas. And there the Torah says, Hanogeya b'meis l'chol nefesh odom v'tomei shivas yomim. If a person comes into contact with a corpse, that person is tomei not for one day, as was the case with sheretz and shichvas zera, but rather for 7 days, and there are additional procedures necessary for him to become tohor, to cleanse himself from the tumah. So the person who touches the corpse is an av hatuma. And anything, and therefore, this person who touches the corpse, if I touch a corpse, I involve in the Chevra Kadisha, and I touch a corpse, then I touch you, you become tomei. I touch a vessel, a cloth, a towel, a cup, a saucer, they become tomei. Because I am an av hatuma, I am a tomei meis. Interestingly, the corpse itself is more than an av hatuma. The corpse itself is avi avos hatuma. He's a granddaddy, the father of the father. The ultimate source of tuma is the mace, the dead body itself. Similarly, if a vessel or a towel, a cloth, a blanket, a shroud comes into contact with the dead person, there that keli, that vessel, towel, item, etc., utensil, is also tomei for 7 days, as the pasuk says in Parshas Chukas, Perek Yutes Bamidbor, pasuk Tes Zayin, v'chol asher yigal pnei hasoda hasode b'chalal cherev o b'meis o b'etzem odam o v'kovra yitmashivas yomim. Anything which touches a corpse or even parts of a corpse or chalal cherev, we'll get into that as well, is also an av hatuma. So we have the sheretz, the shichvas zera, and the tamei meis, which are avos hatumos. The Mishnah continues with another example of an av hatuma, and that is v'hamitzora bimei sofro. Now, If a person becomes afflicted with that type of blemish on his skin, which is known as tsoras, usually translated as leprosy, although some arguments say it's not technically leprosy, but there is a disease, a skin disease, a serious one, that is subject to a whole series of halachos, which are spelled out in Parshios, Tazria, and Parsha and Metzora. After the Metzora person is cleansed of his tzoraas, he or she counts an additional 7 days, as the pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Yudalit Pasuk Ches. V'rochatz b'mayim v'toher v'yachar yavo al hamachane v'yoshav michutz liholo shivas yomim. That even after he has gone through the purification process, he still must sit outside his tent, in other words, not engage in marital relations, for 7 days, and on the 8th day he brings his korbanos. During those 7 days of counting are called Yemei Sofro. During those 7 days, he is still Tomei. Even though he has gone through the various purification procedures, he is still Tomei. And if he touches this Mitzorah Bimei Sofro, touches another person or a vessel, then that person or vessel become Tomei. He is an Av HaTuma Bimei Sofro, and as an Av HaTuma, he is Metamei Odom Vekelim. Continuing, another Av HaTuma, we have now 4, Sheret, Shichvas Zera, Tomei Meis, and Mitzoro Bimei Sofro, all of whom have the power to be Metamei Odom Vekelim. And finally, we have Umei Chatos. Mei Chatos is the water which has become sanctified with the ash of the Poro Aduma. The entire procedure is described in the Torah in Parshas Chukas, where you take the ashes of a Poro Aduma, literally a red cow or red heifer, and those ashes are then mixed with water, and that water is called, in halachic terminology, Mei Chatos, the water of purification. Chatos doesn't always mean sin. In this case, it means purification. So, as we will see, it depends a great deal. That Mei Chatos carries with it a certain degree of tuma. That's the paradox of Paraduma. It is purifying water, and yet it has the power of conducting tuma. But as we will see in detail, it depends upon the quantity of water that we're talking about. So if you have this mechatos, this water which has become sanctified with the ash of the poradumo, she'ein bohem kedei hazoyo, but there's only a little bit of that water, not enough to sprinkle a tome person or tome objects with that water, and that shiur, that quantity which is Kedei Hazoya, which is sufficient to perform the act of sprinkling, is defined in the Mishnah in Maseches Poro, Perek Yudbeis Mishnah Hei, as being sufficient water to dip into it the tips of the stalks, S-T-A-L-K-S, of Azov. Azov is a type of herb translated into English as hyssop, H-Y-S-S-O-P, which is part of the procedure of purifying a person who has been, or a vessel which has become tomei meis. So if there is sufficient water to immerse the tips of that azov plant into the water, that is called yesh bo kedei hazoya. But suppose there is not sufficient water to be matbil, to immerse in them the roshei givole azov, the tips of the stalks of hyssop, so ein bohem kedei hazoya, then this amount of water has the power to be metame like an av hatuma, like an av hatuma. Yeshbo kedei hazoya, we will see, is even more powerful than mechatos she'ein bohem kedei hazoya, more powerful with reference to the laws of tumo v'tahara. Now, these how many do we have now? Five, right? Sheret, Shichva Zera, Temei Meis, Mitzoyro Bimei Sofro, and Mechatos She'ein Bohem Kedei Hazoya. All these five are Avos HaTumah. They are master category. They are fathers of Tumah, sources of Tumah, primary sources of Tumah. However, they are the most lenient of the whole range of Avos HaTumos. And therefore, the Mishnah continues, Hare'e Elu Mitamin Odom V'chelim B'mago. If a person or a utensil, an object, comes into contact, B'mago, touches or is touched by one of these above five categories, the Sheretz, the Shichvazera, the Temei Meis, the Mitzoyro B'mei Sofro, and the Mechata She'em B'dem Kedei Hazor, then they have the powers, I've been emphasizing again and again, to render a person or a utensil, a tool, a vessel, tome, if they come into contact with those Avos HaTumos. Uchli Cheres Bo'avir. Here we have the first mention in this Mishnah of something which we've encountered earlier in our study of Mishnayos. And that is that a Kli Cheres, a vessel made of clay, a ceramic vessel, which was, of course, still common, but in ancient times was extremely common, a Kli Cheres is different from kelim, from vessels made of other materials. In that, a Kli Cheres, let's say a cup, I have a cup made of ceramics. I made it in my pottery class. Or I have a pot made of clay, a ceramic pot. Then, if one of these Avos HaTumah, which we've just learned about, the Sheretz, for example, this dead Sheretz comes into contact, is you place the dead Sheretz on the outside of that pot, no problem. The pot does not become Tomei. If you place it inside the containing space, the air space of that pot, the pot becomes Tomei, even if the Sheretz is just dangled into the pot and never actually touched the inner walls of the pot. Nevertheless, it becomes Tomei. So for other kelim not made of Cheres, you require Mago. If I have an iron pot, a steel pot or whatever, then if the Sheretz comes into contact with the outside or inside walls of that pot, the pot is Tomei. But if it's a ceramic pot, mere mago, mere contact is not enough. It has to be contact or even being held suspended without contact in the airspace, in the avir of the Kli Cheres, in order for them to become tome. But the Kli Cheres is kind of a special case. The main point is that these Avos HaTumah, Sheretz, Tomei Meis, Mitzoyro B'mei Sofro, Shichvazera, etc., Mechato She'em B'em Kedei Hazoya, are only Mitame Odom V'Kelim if they actually come into contact with the Odom V'Kelim. Ve'eino Mitamin B'maso. Suppose a person is carrying a dead Sheretz, but not touching it. It's in his pocket. It's in a knapsack on his back. Or only carrying the Mitzoro B'mei Sofro upon his back or whatever, but not actually touching him. Or only carrying the Mechato She'em Behem Kedei Hazoya, but not actually touching him. So, Masa, if these Avos HaTumah are carried by an Odom V'Kelim and not in direct contact with the Odom V'Kelim, they have not B'mago, but only B'masa, then they do not transfer their Tomei through Masa alone. A person who carries these Avos HaTumah of this Mishnah but doesn't touch them does not become Tomei. Because if you go through all the psukim that we've been alluding to, you will see that with reference to all five, the Torah says clearly, Hanogeya, touching, actual physical contact. But never says with reference to these five Avos HaTumah, Hanosei, he who merely carries but does not come into contact with them is Tomei. The Torah never says that with reference to these five Avos HaTumah. And so we have finished Kelim Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and concluded lesson number 1 in our study of Maseches Kelim.